You're back with Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. When John James Audubon hit his mid-30s, he was totally consumed by a project, and that was to draw the birds of America. It was a huge undertaking, and Audubon ruffled some feathers doing it. Well, some of his original prints from Birds of America are on display now at the Longmont Museum and Cultural Center, and joining us is Audubon specialist and art dealer Tam O'Neill. Tam, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for inviting me, Ryan.
What made Audubon, this Frenchman who lived in America, what made him want to draw every bird on the continent?
He was a failed businessman, was fascinated by the outdoors. He couldn't keep himself behind his counter in his shop in Pennsylvania. And he loved the outdoors and was mad about drawing, self-taught artist. The thing that inspired him, I think, to start his publication was meeting another aspiring artist named Alexander Wilson in 1810.
Wilson is an artist who's doing his own drawings of birds, right?
Yes.
And Audubon basically thinks, I can do this better.
Yeah.
How does he get that notion?
Well, if we were looking at a bird engraving by Alexander Wilson, and don't get me wrong, because I love Wilson's work too, and I have some in my gallery and I have some in my home. Wilson's birds look like folk art compared to Audubon. And the
like kind of primitive?
They're drawn in profile, so if you're out walking in the woods, you would be able to identify that bird almost by its silhouette, and it's perched on a dry stick as if it's a stuffed bird in a museum or it's a bird decoy perched on the shelf.
Very unnatural feeling.
Yeah, stiff, a little stiff. And he's also crowding in six unlikely birds onto one sheet, which was an economical use of the copper plate and so forth. But you'd never see that actually in nature.
And Audubon had an idea of doing it differently, more naturally, I guess.
Right. So Audubon didn't actually study science. He's a self-taught artist, but his idea is to share his experience in the outdoors with his audience. And so he figures the best, most dramatic way to do that is to show the birds life size on this huge paper. It's called Double Elephant Folio. It's 40 inches long, and he's showing every detail, every narrative, the courtship, the nesting, the food, the young.
Now, you talk about the fact that he was not all that grounded scientifically. At the time, illustrators weren't just artists. They were scientists as well?
Right. And the science was really still in its pretty young stages at that point. An American species had not been completely named and completely cataloged. So there was this desire to name things and to be the first to put it down on paper, but you also had to be right, because as soon as you committed something to paper, you would be up for scrutiny by your competitors.
Let's look at an image together that exemplifies what you're talking about. A bird in a natural setting showing, well, in this case, it's food. What are we looking at?
Okay, this is the great symbol of America, the bald eagle. He's quite savagely piercing this fish with these huge talons. And the fish is deceased.
And splayed out on a rock.
Splayed out on a rock. And here's the great symbol of our country clutching this sort of large dead catfish.
And what would audiences have thought of this at the time?
They may have been a bit squeamish, and it was a completely different portrayal of this bird normally shown in this iconic way.
Regal, you know.
Symbol of America, and here he is having his lunch on a rock.
You talked about the fact that Audubon did these life-sized and had to use special paper to do so. And you would have subscribed to the publication, right? Because you would have gotten drawings bundled all together or over time.
Well, think about these huge pieces of paper that are 40 inches long.
Yeah.
And the work that's done to accomplish the engraving and the hand coloring, and only a few prints could be done and delivered in one swoop. And then you would hope that your subscriber would be pleased with the work thus far, pay for that installment, and then you could go back to London, back on the boat, leave your wife, go back and work with your engravers again for the next series.
So he was doing all of the observations here, but all of the printing in Europe.
Exactly.
And schlepping back and forth.
Right, leaving his wife and two young sons sort of to fend for themselves in this country. And there's these heartbreaking letters in his journals to his wife and his wife back to he about the separation and how tough it was for her, really, to raise these kids by herself.
These letters are in the show.
Yes. There's this lovely letter that Audubon's written, and they call it the cross-hatched letter. And it's in this beautiful ink that's turned sepia over time. And in this careful script, he's filled the page from left to right, top to bottom. And then to continue, because he's out of paper suddenly, he turns it and starts again in the upper left-hand corner and writes across. So it makes this lovely puzzle.
How long was the project altogether?
The Birds of America were in publication between 1824 and 1838. So very long time.
14 years.
14 years.
And how many images altogether did he do?
There's 435 of these birds, and it's showing over 1,000 different birds, actually, because there's multiple images on each plate.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and the Longmont Museum and Cultural Center is showing some of John James Audubon's groundbreaking work, and we are speaking with Tam O'Neill. She's an art dealer who specializes in Audubon. She's talking to us about some of the images in the show. Did he ever get the scene, the behavior wrong?
I believe that he drew what he observed, and he was criticized at certain points. There is a scene of a rattlesnake attacking a mockingbird's nest, and the panicked parents are in the air and don't know what to do, and the snake is attacking, and he was roundly criticized for that, and no one could figure out how on earth a rattlesnake got up in this tree. But it's not the kind of thing you would invent, you know, it's just too crazy. So it was later proven that he was true and was vindicated.
That rattlesnakes climb trees and go after
mockingbird nests. Yeah, they eat the eggs and the young, yeah.
And again, this, you know, it's early on in the documentation of species in this area, so that might not have been observed before Audubon did it.
Exactly.
How many images altogether in the show?
You know, I think there's about 60 engravings altogether, along with some of the personal artifacts from the Audubon family and some original paintings. But one thing that's surprising to most people, they connect Audubon with birds. They don't so much connect him with four-footed creatures. And So Audubon also, in addition to the Birds of America, published the classic work on American animals, which was called The Quadrupeds of North America.
I suppose they weren't life-size drawings, but did he do it in a big way?
Big
as
way.
Well?
Imperial Folio was the size paper that those were published on. They're about 22 by 28.
What's an example of one from the show?
Well, one that I love is the raccoon, and that's something that urban dwellers will be familiar with. And I just think it's one of the best, most compelling animal illustrations ever done. This guy just is fat and sassy, and he looks like you don't want to mess with him as he's raiding your backyard, trash can or whatever. But this guy has character, and he's very imposing.
What is he doing in the image?
He's looking right at you. So in some cases, you have the feeling like you're hiding behind the duck blind and you're observing this creature and they don't know you're there. Some of Audubon's creatures look right back at you, and this is one of them.
Like they're aware of the audience.
Yeah.
I'm curious, when people would have subscribed to these, you know, multi-part publications, enormous pieces of paper, I suppose it was like an early equivalent of a coffee table book that you would have had out in your home on display for people to see. Is that true, or would they have framed the images?
Oh, no. They would be in your library, and you would need a serious coffee table to hold these books, because once each subscriber bound their set in their own personal way,
because
they didn't come with bindings, and so each subscriber would then go to the bookbinder and have a special leather case crafted for each volume. So there's seven of these huge volumes, and many times the subscriber would have a special piece of furniture crafted, like a wooden case to store all these in, with a special easel on top that you could prop it open and handle the pages carefully as you turned them.
And what's in the show are examples of what people would have received in their homes. Is that right?
Yes, exactly.
How rare are these kinds of images?
Well, less than 175 sets were ever issued of the Birds of America, and less than 300 sets of the quadrupeds were produced. So the fact that we have any of these left to enjoy today is compelling and amazing to me.
Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Tam O'Neill talked to us about the Longmont Museum and Cultural Center's exhibit. It's called John J. Audubon, American Artist and Naturalist. It runs through September 18th.